world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say or you hear somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to all of you out there in radio land. Thank you so kindly for joining us this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day thus far. You know, if you're not having a good day, just pray about it. Things go better with prayer. What oil is to an automobile is what prayer is to a Christian life. You know, if you don't have no oil in your motor, in your car, then that car is going to start making a noise. It's going to be real noisy. But if you put some oil in there, it'll quieten it down. In the same way, if you are having like a little noisy life right now, put some prayer with it. Put some prayer with it and watch it quieten down. Jesus says men should always pray lest they faint. You'll feel like giving up if you don't pray. So just pray about it. Pray about it. All right. This morning in the Situation Room, I want to answer some Bible questions. Got some Bible questions here. But before I answer those questions this morning, just in case you have a Bible question you want us to answer in the Situation Room, whether it's a Bible question or a marriage question or just a question pertaining to the Christian life, you can email those questions in to BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com, BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can leave them on my voicemail and give me a call, 972-257-3766, 972-257-3766. All right, let me get my Bible and we'll answer some Bible questions. All right, first question is a good one here. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? This person probably heard the pastor or somebody talking about being born again, but they didn't really know what it means to be born again. Well, when a person is born again, he or she is made spiritually alive. When we come into this world, we are spiritually dead. But to be born again means that God is going to make you spiritually alive. Matter of fact, you'll find that where it talks about being born again in John chapter 3. So you can open your Bible to St. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1, the scripture says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. All right, so we got a man named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was one of the religious groups in Jesus' day, and they were the strictest religious group in Jesus' day. So this man was a religious man, and the scripture says he was a ruler of the Jews. So not only was he a religious man, he was a powerful man. He was a powerful man. He was a religious leader. He was a religious leader in Jesus' day. Now that man came to Jesus by night. And one of the reasons he came by night, he didn't want everybody to know his business. See, this man wasn't saved, but a lot of people thought that he was saved, but he wasn't saved. And he didn't want folks to see him going to talk to Jesus. And notice, Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say to you. Now, whenever you hear that word, verily, verily, that means this is very important. This is very important. A lot of times, a person today may say, listen up. And if they say, listen up, hey, y'all, listen up, listen up. That lets you know that what they are finna say is very important. They could have said, listen up one time. But when they say, listen up, listen up, listen up, y'all listen now. That's very important. That's Jesus' way of saying, y'all, listen up. Listen to this now. Listen to this. I'm telling you the truth here. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except ye be born again, that word is, that phrase, born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said you won't see it, the kingdom, unless you are born again. You won't see heaven on earth, as well as heaven in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven. You won't see heaven, period. Let me just say it like that. Unless you born again. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus is thinking physical birth. But notice what Jesus says, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, not only can a man see it, but unless a person is born again, he won't enter. He can't even get in unless you're born again. And notice what Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. Now Jesus said that three times, you must be born again. In verse number 3, Jesus says, except the man be born again, you got to be born again. Verse number 5, he says, you got to be born again. Verse 7, marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. So Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you got to be born again unless you can't see it and you can't even enter it. Now, Nicodemus is thinking physical birth. Jesus is thinking spiritual birth. Did you notice that? He says in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of spirit. Now, when a person is born physically, there's two agents. There's two things that's got to take place. There's a mama and a daddy that got to come together. The man and the woman got to come together and in the sex act, and then the baby come forth. The same thing has to happen in this spiritual. It takes two agents. It takes the water and the spirit. Now, what is the water? A lot of folks say that's water baptism. Nope, that's not water baptism. That's dealing with something physical. This here is dealing with the spiritual. What is the water? The water here is a picture of the Word of God. So for a person to get saved, it takes the water, which is the Word of God. Then it takes the Spirit. The Spirit here is the Holy Spirit. So it takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So a person has to hear the Word of God. Once they hear the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God goes ahead and open up that person's heart to hear the Word of God. Then when they hear the Word of God, then the Spirit seals that in that person's heart. And so you got the Spirit of God and the Word of God that takes place in that person's heart, and they produces a child of God. So when the Spirit of God and the Word of God get together in your heart, then they produces a child of God. Just like when a mama and daddy gets together, they can produce a child. Then when the Spirit of God and the Word of God get together in your heart, then it produces a child of God. That's why when you hear the Word of God and you believe it with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, you believe the Word of God, then the Spirit of God comes in and seals that. And as a result, you are born again because of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So that's how you become born again. When you hear the Word of God and you believe in the Word of God, then the Spirit of God seals that in your heart, and you're born again. And except that happens, Jesus says you can't see the kingdom, neither can you even enter into the kingdom. Now, to be born again is not reformation. It's a regeneration. Reformation means to improve your life or to reconstruct your life. God is not coming to just remodel your life when he comes in your life. When God comes into your life, it's a regeneration, which means to create something brand new, to make something new. So, when that's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things has now become new. That's regeneration, not reformation. See, a lot of people think that when God come into your life, he come to make bad men good. No, God is not coming to make bad men good. What God is coming to do, God is coming to make dead men alive. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, we was dead in our trespasses and in sin. But God, Holy Spirit, comes and quickens us and makes us alive. And so when you are born again, you go from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. That's what it means to be born again. It means that you have been regenerated. You have been created brand new. You're not. That's why I often say you can't do what you used to do, because you're not the same person that you used to be. All right. Hopefully that answered your question on what does it mean to be born again. The second question has to do with church office or church structure. We hadn't had a question similar to this, anything similar to this. Here it is. Question number two. Should a church have deaconesses? Should a church have deaconesses? Ooh, this is a good question here. This is a good question because churches are divided, to tell you the truth, over the issues of deaconesses. Some say no. Churches should not have deaconesses because there are only two offices in the church, and that's the elders and deacons. So you got preachers and deacons. Whenever Paul wrote letters, most of the time he addressed it to the elders and the deacons, such as over in Philippians chapter 1, when Paul wrote the to the church at Philippi. He addressed it to the elders and the deacons. He then addressed it to the elders, the deacon, and the deaconesses and all of that. So that's why a lot of people said, no, churches should not have deaconesses. Now, some say, yes, a church should have deaconesses, and they see deaconesses as ministers' wives or deacon wives. Let me get a verse, 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul talks about that, where he says in verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy or filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith and a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Did you notice that? Verse 11 again. Even so, their wives be grave, not slander, sober, faithful in all things. And so Paul is giving a counsel here that not only should deacons be qualified to serve in the church, but their wives need to be qualified to serve alongside them in the churches. So some churches, they see deaconesses as deacons' wives. Then, so some churches says yes, because of the scripture like that. Then some churches say yes, but she don't have to be the wife of a deacon. She don't have to be the wife of a minister. She can just be a godly woman who love the Lord and want to be a servant of the Lord, such as a Phoebe in Romans chapter 16. Let me get that right quick. Romans chapter 16. In Romans 16, verse 1, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. That word servant there is a Greek word that basically means deaconess. That's where we get deaconesses in our churches. It comes from this word right here in Romans 16 and 1. So, and from what we know of, Phoebe was not married. From what we know of, she was not married. And a deaconess don't necessarily have to be the wife of a deacon or the wife of a minister. So I agree. I don't think that a deaconess should be an officer in a church, but only a servant in the church. I believe that there's a place for women servants in the church. The Bible gives us Christian liberties, just like you don't ever read in the Bible about parking lot workers, greeters, trustees in the Bible, but you see all of these different positions like greeters, parking lot workers, trustees. You see all of that in our churches today, and I think that that's okay, because these things helps our church to function. And in actually, the parking lots are parking lot servants. Greeters are servants. Trustees are servants. So if you want to call a lady a deaconess, she's fine. And she'll just be a servant. All of us are servants. There's a word for ministers that means servant. So as long as they see themselves as a servant, I wouldn't have any problem with calling them deaconesses. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes that's why ministers get in trouble, is because sometimes ministers try to counsel women's. There's too much cross counseling. I think men should more counsel men's, and women should counsel women's. And I think that that's the missing ingredient today in our church. We're not taking full advantage of those good godly women that can help us in counseling those women in the body of Christ. All right, hopefully that helps. Let me answer this last question right quick. Did Ruth sin by being a single woman and uncovering Boaz's feet as he was asleep and spending the night at Boaz's place? Oh, let me turn over there to that. That's a very good question. That's over in the book of Ruth, and you can find Ruth behind Judges. You know, you got Joshua, Judges, then you got Ruth. Look at Ruth chapter 3. Remember, Ruth was Naomi's daughter-in-law, and they had went back to Bethlehem, and they was working out in the fields. Ruth was working in Boaz's field. Now, look at chapter 3, verse number 7. It says, "And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lay down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Now, when we look at this story, you got to understand Bible culture. Their culture is different from our culture. If a woman went and laid at a man's feet today, went in his house or something like that and laid at his feet, we would think something kooky and crazy and sinful, immoral is going on. But in Ruth day, back in Bible day, it was okay for workers and owners to sleep with their grain, or to protect it from the thieves. And that's what Boaz was doing. Boaz, who was the who had a field, they had harvest some of the grain, and they had put it at his feet. Actually, he was sleeping there where they had stored the grain. And so he was protecting the grain. And it's okay for the workers. Normally the workers would come. A good worker who really loved the master would come and uncover the master's feet and let the master put his feet on the worker. And the worker was warming the master feet, was acting more like a bed warmer, somewhat, a foot warmer, to keep the foot warm. And that's what Ruth was doing. She uncovered his feet, and she was acting as a foot warmer to keep Boaz's foot warm. So it was nothing immoral going on there. And when he woke up in the morning, she wanted to ask him a very important question. And so that's what she did. And so she didn't do nothing immoral. She didn't do nothing kooky or crazy. You just got to understand Bible culture. Boaz was sleeping, trying to protect the grain. And Ruth came there to uncover his feet, keeping him warm, so that when he woke up in the morning, she was going to ask him to do a favor. So she was doing a favor at that night, doing nothing immoral, just warming his feet. All right. Well, look like that's all we're going to be able to answer today in the Situation Room. Hope and pray that we've said something that's going to help you and encourage you and strengthen you in your Christian journey. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. Music and a whole lot more. So at 9 o'clock, we'll be back to take a look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. A wonderful church right here in Irving, Texas. Please stop by and worship with us sometime. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackle. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Go tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker. Tell somebody about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.